Hello everyone and welcome to another edition of Retro Film Reviews. Happy Labor Day if you celebrate. My name is Julian and this edition of Retro Film Review is about, well, you just heard a little bit of the music right there. And it is 1995's Mortal Kombat, celebrating 25 years since the release of this film this year. It was released in July of 1995 and I'm a big, big Mortal Kombat fan, as you can see watching on the YouTube video. I got the hat on right here, and the t-shirt. So, I am dressed the part for this, and yeah, this is going to be a fun one for me. I actually just finished watching the movie a little while ago. I have the Blu-ray right here in my hands. It's a very fun Blu-ray. Although, I will say my complaint about the Blu-ray is sometimes the audio is lower in some scenes than they are in others, and sometimes they're too loud in other scenes, so I gotta constantly adjust the volume, but it's a minor complaint. But this is a good Blu-ray to have. You know, picture quality is clear, other than the up and down audio, it's still pretty good, and it has the the animated sort of prequel tie-in featurette. It's called Mortal Kombat, The Journey Begins. And I remember my brother and I used to have the VHS copy for that, and we watched it a lot when we were younger, and it's fun to actually have that featured on here on the Blu-ray. But yes, 1995's Mortal Kombat. Of course, banking off of the success of the video game franchise of the same name, which I believe the first one debuted in 1991. I could be wrong about that, but just going off of knowledge off the top of my head. And of course, you know, we had Mortal Kombat 2, and then 3, and then Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3, and then they had the Mortal Kombat Trilogy set, and then Mortal Kombat 4 introduced the 3D animation for the very first time. And there was also Mortal Kombat Mythologies Sub-Zero. I used to have that game, and that was a very fun one. I never finished it, but it was a fun game. And then came Mortal Kombat Deadly Alliance, where they introduced storylines, like actual storylines into Mortal Kombat when you're playing this tournament. And then there was Mortal Kombat, I can't remember, it was the one that came after Deadly Alliance, where they introduced Dimashi, and I can't remember. But I think that one, I think, actually had like a tie-in thing with the Shaolin Monks spin-off game. And then there was Mortal Kombat Armageddon, which I guess was kind of like a reset, if you can consider that. And then they had Mortal Kombat 9 that came out years later, then Mortal Kombat 10, and then Mortal Kombat 11 that came out last year. Yeah, a lot of great games. And also there was also the Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe games, and you know they've been featured. They've had each character from both franchises featured in each other's games, so that's a lot of fun. But yeah, the 1995 film, the storyline itself is pretty basic. It was, you know, the main story, at least, was Liu Kang, played by Robin Shao, I think that's how it's pronounced, or Shu, it's S-H-O-U, so if I'm saying it wrong, sorry, seeking revenge on Shang Tsung, who was played by Carrie, I hope I'm going to say this correctly, because I'm looking at the IMDb listing, it's Carrie Hiroyuki Tagawa. I'm hoping I said that correct. Trying to avenge the death of his brother Chan, who was killed by Shang Tsung. And it's, you know, like I say, it has like a lot of cliche, you know, movie tropes, like he's not believing the tales of the people from his village, where it comes to like the tournament having the fate of the world at stake, and not believing that that Lord Raiden is who he truly says he is, and he was played by Christopher Lambert, you know, who from Highlander fame. And we also had Lyndon Ashby as Johnny Cage, Brigitte Wilson as Sonya Blade. I think it's Brigitte Wilson, I believe that's how it's pronounced, or Bridget Wilson. You know, who for me I most fondly remember as from Billy Madison, and she was also in I Know What You Did Last Summer. And then we also had Trevor Goddard as Kano. Chris Casamassa, I believe that's how it's pronounced, as Scorpion. And Francois Petit as Sub-Zero, which, fun fact about Francois Petit, he was the Phantom of the Attitude Era. I remember the doctor with the ponytail, with the French accent. That was featured quite frequently on Monday Night Raw and SmackDown during that time. Yeah, that doctor, the Attitude Era doctor with the ponytail, played Sub-Zero in this movie. And I didn't even know that until I heard it on the in an episode of Something to Wrestle With Bruce Pritchard podcast. So, yeah, it's a fun little factoid, if you will. So, and then we also had other, you know, classic Mortal Kombat characters like Reptile, played by Keith Cook, which I guess he would be the only other character on it. Oh, yeah, and there was Jax, played by Gregory McKinney, but he was only there for, like, couple minutes, you know. Frank Welker as the voice of Shao Kahn and Reptile, and Ed Boon, you know, Ed Boon, the great Ed Boon, was the voice of Scorpion, obviously. Kevin Michael Richardson as the voice of Goro. I don't know who the actual actor was that played him, because I believe it was an animatronic that they'd used for Goro, but yeah, it was played by Kevin Michael Richardson, the great and legendary Kevin Michael Richardson. So yeah, they had quite the cast for this film. Talisa Soto as Kitana, she was beautiful, so freaking beautiful in this movie. I mean, she's still beautiful, and she hasn't done anything since, you know, at least according to IMDb, she hasn't done anything in 11 years. So I guess she's happy where she is, earning these royalties from this film, probably. But yeah, the storyline is, yeah, Liu Kang is seeking revenge on Shang Tsung for the murder of his brother Chan. And then he goes to his village to find out what happened, why didn't they protect him, and he starts, you know, again, being resistant to all the fairy tales of what he had heard growing up, and about the tournament, and again, the fate of the world at stake, and believing that Lord Raiden is truly the Lord Raiden of thunder and God and lightning and all that stuff. And so he decides to enter the tournament so that he can get vengeance for his brother. And then there's Sonya Blade, she's in some, like, techno club, whatever place, trying to find Kano because he killed her partner. And the thing that I find really funny, and I only just now noticed it when I was watching it this time, is when she has her gun and she shoots one of the henchmen, you know, and it's a loud gun, guns going off, people all around partying in that club are just completely oblivious to it, as if it's like, it's another shooting going on, let's just keep dancing. Obviously not realistic, but, you know, nothing in this movie is realistic at all. It's, you know, it's to be this for the entire film, it falls into the so bad it's good category, where it's like it's stupid and awful, but it's so much fun to and entertaining. Whereas the sequel, Mortal Kombat Annihilation, is just straight up garbage. And only two peak cast members from this film are the ones that actually come back: Robin Cho and Talisa Soto. Everybody else was recast by somebody else. Like, we don't get Lyndon Ashby as Johnny Cage. We don't get Christopher Lambert as Lord Raiden. The guy that plays him, I can't remember his name, but I remembered him most from seasons of Sex and the City, where he was the guy that was, you know, that dated Samantha Jones off and on. Like I said, I don't remember his name, but that's what I associated with him most. And then also, Sonya Blade was played by somebody else. And just, yeah, it's just god-awful. And I can't wait for the new one that's supposed to be coming out next year that James Wan is part of. And it's supposed to be bloody and gory, just like the video games. And I am excited to see how that works out. And hopefully, I'll be able to see it in movie theaters, because movie theaters are still not open here in Jacksonville, North Carolina, which I'm annoyed by, because I really wanted to go see Tenet and New Mutants, but I'm going to have to wait for the Blu-rays for those to come out. Yes, I am a physical media person. I know everybody's going digital, but I prefer my physical media, and that's why I have this copy of the movie right here for Mortal Kombat. I will always be a physical media guy, and very select movies will I ever, and video games will I ever go digital. Okay. Yeah, where was I going with that? Yeah. Sorry, I just lost my train of thought. But yeah, anyway, I figured it out again. I went on a whole rant about physical media, and then I lost my train of thought about the movie. But yeah, then after the stuff with Sonya Blade, because, again, she's on a hunt for Kano, and then we cut to the introduction of Johnny Cage, where he's fighting these, like, martial arts mob boss kind of people, and he kicks a guy square in the face, and the guy doesn't fall down. And then we find out, oh, he's just filming another movie. And he goes over to who he believes to be to have been like his mentor and training coach. Or they never really specify that in the movie. Let me see. All right, yeah, Master Boyd. That's what it says here. Then, yeah, that he convinces Johnny Cage to prove that he's the real deal as a martial artist by entering the Mortal Kombat tournament. Says, you know, to go to this pier tomorrow in Hong Kong, and then they show him in the parking lot walking away, and he morphs into Shang Tsung. So, because it was Shang Tsung who, you know, wanted these people specifically. He wanted Sonya Blade, Liu Kang, and Johnny Cage specifically in this tournament because of the deal that he had made with Lord Raiden with regards to the stakes and everything at basically on the line for the tournament, because the whole lore of the tournament is that the people of Outworld, Shang Tsung and his crew, essentially, Goro and whoever else, had to win 10 consecutive tournaments in order to take over everything, pretty much. And they've won 9 tournaments up to this point, so if they win this one, Shang Tsung and all of them get to take over, and the Outworld gets to take over all of the world. So Raiden tasks Liu Kang, Sonya Blade, and Johnny Cage to step up and fight for Earth so that Outworld does not, you know, yeah, about, you know, Shao Kahn and all of them do not get to take over another world. And the fight choreography is very good in this movie. I mean, they have a lot of legit martial artists in this film, which I appreciate and love that. And then even, you know, the actors, Lyndon Ashby and Robin Cho and Brigitte Wilson, they actually are doing the moves themselves, for the most part, at least. So I appreciate that, and I love that, because sometimes when you can see the stunt double's face, it just kind of takes you out of the moment. But we get to actually see them doing these moves themselves, and that just makes it more enjoyable for me, at least. I know other people feel the same way as I do, but I'm speaking for myself only, as I always do when I make these videos and these podcasts that you people are so, so wonderful to watch and listen to. And if you're not subscribed, please do so. YouTube, Spotify, Google Podcasts, CastBox, Radio Public, Breaker, and Anchor. And then the CGI in this film is very, very dated and very, very not good, even for 1995. Which is just kind of like, 'cause Jurassic Park had come out a few years before that, and the CGI in that is still the best CGI I've ever seen in any movie ever. So the fact that this film that came out at least 2 or 3 years later can have such shit CGI, it's just astounding to me. And you know, and the way the fighting is, it's very, like, they don't have like actual brackets, kind of like in the game of, you know, you're gonna fight this person here and then this person there and so on and so on. It's just fights just happen randomly, you know, as they do. Liu Kang fights this one black guy that I don't think they ever said what his name was. And then we get to see what I believe to be the best fight of the entire movie, Johnny Cage and Scorpion, which, yeah, like, to me, is the best fight. And it's just, you know, being such a fan of the games, especially, and my favorite character is Sub-Zero in all of Mortal Kombat, but my second favorite is actually Johnny Cage. So it was very cool to see the Scorpion-Johnny Cage fight in this movie. Even though, yeah, it still had its little cheesy moments where there was one part when they get to, like, the little weird little pit area where there's, like, there's a lot of scaffolding and a lot of skulls and skeletons and shit all over the place, that Johnny Cage does, like, a flip where he's on top of, like a platform, and then Scorpion shouts out, "Get down here!" and kicks the pole that knocks him over. When he has the spear comes out of Scorpion's hand, and it's not like a spear, it's like a weird lizard thing, which, you know, hey, it's a creative choice, and I respect that. It just looked funny, you know, and again, the CGI was shit, but again, I have fun with this movie every time I've watched it, so I don't mind it too much. And then, because it's a very fast paced back and forth kind of fight, and very, I'm trying to think of the right word for it. Like, they don't let up for too long. Like, not like other fights in other movies where, you know, they do a couple of hits and then they just stand there with that smoldering look, just staring at them, like, taunting them kind of thing. But, this one, there was very little breathing room. And when Scorpion, he takes off his face and his mask to reveal the skull underneath and tries to get Johnny Cage with the fire, but Johnny Cage pulls up this little shield that has, like, little razors on the edge of it. And then he grabs, like, an actual spear, throws it at Scorpion, and which cuts his arm open, and flames start shooting out. And then he has that little shield with the razors on it and slices him in the chest, and then even slices his skull. And I actually never noticed that he actually sliced the cranium part of his skull off until this time, because I was really, really paying attention to it, because I wanted to give as detailed of information as I can on here. And then Scorpion blows up, his parts are on fire, and then we get a cool little, funny little nod to the friendship finisher that we got introduced in, I think it was Mortal Kombat 2 that they introduced friendship, that it's like an autographed 8x10 of Johnny Cage that lands right on the remains of Scorpion, which, yeah, again, it's goofy, it's cheesy, it's stupid, but that's why we love Mortal Kombat. It's a lot of goofy, stupid, cheesy shit, and that's why I love this movie. You know, and I know the James Wan produced one that's supposed to be coming out next year might not be quite as stupid and cheesy and as cool. I'm always open to different interpretations and iterations of these characters and stories for everything, whether it's video games, comic books, or, you know, remade versions of, or rebooted versions of existing film franchises and TV shows and stuff. I'm okay with that. I'm not a, you know, those purists that's like, oh, it has to be this way, it can only be this way, it can't be any other way, it has to be this way because this is what I want. Spoiled little fuckers, be open to different interpretations. And then after that, I don't know if it was right after that, but we did get a fight with Liu Kang and Kitana, which wasn't really a fight, it was more of just like a quick little exhibition that didn't really amount to anything. But she warned him, use the elements that give life to in your next fight, because his next fight was against Scorpion, and I guess not Scorpion, Sub-Zero. See, I'm jumbling up all these characters in my head. But yeah, his second fight would be against Sub-Zero, and what rewatching it now, it's just like, like I said, Sub-Zero is my favorite Mortal Kombat character, my number one favorite Mortal Kombat character. So I was really disappointed with this fight. It's like the way he loses in here. He's building up this big, powerful little, you know, this big thing of ice that he's gonna launch at Liu Kang, and then he dies because Liu Kang takes a bucket of water, throws it, bit of the water freezes into a spike that pierces Sub-Zero right in the chest, and it freezes his whole body. And it's just like, really, of all the ways to beat Sub-Zero, he dies by essentially freezing himself. Stupid. And we also got Sonya Blade versus Kano, this was the one scene that I actually remembered the most vividly, even before I got to rewatch it again now after buying the Blu-ray a few months ago, where she has him in a scissors lock with her feet around his neck, and he says, "Oh, give me a break," and she goes, "Okay," it's like, "Okay," and then snaps his neck. I always remember that very, very vividly. But, you know, I probably, you know, thinking about it now, I probably very remember it so vividly because just, her legs looked so, they looked so nice in this movie when she was wearing the shorts during this part of the movie. let me take a drink so I can cool myself down. And then we also had Shang Tsung conversing with Goro, talking about, like, oh, we've let the humans, you know, win long enough, you know, time, basically just saying, like, you know, now it's time we show them how it's really done, kind of thing. So then Goro takes on the only other black guy that was part of this tournament that Johnny Cage had met before he got on the boat to go to the tournament. And yeah, Goro just basically just destroys him and kills him. And it's funny because, you know, they do the cliche where, you know, he dies and then the person goes, no! And it was Sonya Blade, and I'm just like, she doesn't even know him. Why is she screaming out? And then Johnny Cage, when Shang Tsung, after Shang Tsung steals the guy's soul, then he shouts out, no! His reaction makes more sense because he actually kind of knew the guy, or at least knew of him, and they had their little friendly interaction before they got on the boat. So, yeah, him shouting out no made more sense to me. Sonya Blade reacting that way, we never saw you interacting with him even 1 second in this movie, and yet she has an emotional reaction to him dying. I don't get that. But you know, again, it's not a perfect movie. It's not even a great movie. It's a fun movie. You know, it's probably the only Paul W.S. Anderson movie that I've actually liked. I know he would go on to work on the Resident Evil films, and those films are pretty god awful as well. But yeah. You know, the only saving grace about those movies is Mila Jovovich, and I'm very fond of her. And then Johnny Cage decides to challenge Goro after that, and then Goro meets his fate, and one of the other cool parts of this is Goro, he's gonna try to kill him the way he killed the other guy. You know, he has the hands up, and he's about to, like, boom, which I guess he hits him in the chest, and it, like, caves in his heart or something, I don't know. But then Johnny Cage does the split and then boom, punch him in the dick and has him chase him up the stairway onto a cliff, and then Johnny Cage with just like one little kick knocks him off the cliff, and he's barely hanging on with his, you know, his three fingers hanging onto a piece of the ledge, and you know, calling back to the beginning of the movie, Johnny says, this is the part where you fall down, and then he falls down in one of the worst CGI deaths I've ever seen. Not as bad as the dude from Ninja Turtles 3, where he's falling into the water and then just doesn't even splash, he just cuts out. They're still showing the water, he just and he's gone. We don't even see a splash. I need to get the Blu-ray for that trilogy so I can review that on here. I would have a lot to say about those sequels, especially the third one. And no, I am not going to review Mortal Kombat Annihilation on here, because that film is just too damn god-awful that I've only seen it one time, and I never want to see it ever again. It is that bad. I hate it that much. One time was one time too many for me. But yeah, then after he killed Goro, then Shang Tsung decides, oh, I'm going to exercise my right as champion to choose my opponent, and he chooses Sonya Blade, so then he takes her to Outworld, because, yeah, that was one of the rules, or negotiated rules, I think, that as a previous champion, he gets to choose his opponent for the end of the tournament, and he gets to choose the location, so he snatches her, takes her to Outworld, and then Liu Kang and Johnny Cage decide to go after her, and, this is where we get to see Liu Kang fighting Reptile, which is, I would say, my second favorite fight in the whole movie. Because before, up until this point, he was a very poorly CGI'd, like, lizard. And then he falls into, like, this, like, statue decaying-looking body that was on the floor in Outworld. And he becomes the Reptile that we all know from the video games. And we even get the voiceover from, like, the character menu from the game, when he morphs into Reptile, it just goes Reptile, and then he gets up and they start fighting, and then of course, you know, he dies too, and Liu Kang kills him by because like all like little creepy crawler, you know, roaches and worms and centipede, millipedes, whatever looking things start coming out of the body, and hit the lizard version of Reptile starts falling out, and he goes, oh no, you don't, and then boom, stomps him right on the skull. I'm guessing it was the skull, and he kills him. And then Kitana shows up, and she's gonna help him win against Shang Tsung, because Shang Tsung, you know, he's basically the last obstacle to saving the world in this tournament, and Liu Kang being a descendant of Kung Lao, who's another one of my favorites from the games, he is essentially the chosen one to save the world from being taken over by Shao Kahn and the rest of the people of Outworld like that. And then we get to the, I guess it was supposed to be like, you know, whoever thought of this version of the whatever Sonya Blade was wearing, it was like a leather skirt thing and top, which I don't know why she had to wear that, but I mean, obviously I wasn't complaining because Brigitte Wilson, she's pretty fucking hot and was especially hot here. Then the thing is that, because this is a PG-13 movie, and I would say they were maybe trying to do like a version of like the slave bikini outfit that Princess Leia wore in Return of the Jedi. But Return of the Jedi is a PG movie, and her outfit is not particularly PG. Meanwhile, PG-13, Sonya Blade is wearing a very PG outfit. So, I don't know. I don't make these decisions for the creative stuff and costume designs, which, if I were, I don't know how I would handle that. But anyways, then we get to the big fight at the end of the movie with Liu Kang and Shang Tsung, where it's... I would say is my third favorite fight in the whole movie. So yeah, it's Johnny Cage Scorpion, Liu Kang Reptile, Liu Kang Shang Tsung. That's just my personal ranking for the movie. And as Liu Kang is like winning the fight, Shang Tsung decides, let me manipulate him, try to play some mind games by morphing into his dead brother Chan to make him think, that, oh, here is my brother, everything's gonna be okay, blah 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 blah. Now, why didn't you save me? Why didn't you protect me? That kind of shit. And then he finally just like, no, Shang Tsung killed my brother, and blah blah. And then he morphs back into Shang Tsung, and then he kills him and puts him through the spikes on the floor that had come up in the middle of all that, and all the souls that had been captured by Shang Tsung started to fly out of him, including his brother Chan, that said his final goodbyes to him and all that stuff, which, you know, was a very touching moment, I will admit that, and I did get slightly teary-eyed, not too much, but, yeah, and then we get to the happy ending-ish, where with Liu Kang, Kitana, and Sonya Blade, Johnny Cage, and Raiden all celebrating back on Earth with Liu Kang's tribe and his people, until one of the tower pillar things starts to crumble and Shao Kahn manifests from there, or a smoky version of him pops up and saying like, oh, your souls will be mine, and blah, 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 and then, you know, Raiden just, from his eyeballs, the lightning, electricity, goes, I don't think so. And then they all go into their fighting stances, and that's where the movie ends. So, yeah, like I said, it's not a great movie, and it's barely a good movie, but it falls into that, to me at least, that category of so bad it's good, and it's very enjoyable. And I know a lot of people that are enjoyable, that have enjoyed it as much as I have, including one of my friends that I speak often with on Vero, David. He was talking about how him and his wife had just watched it recently and how much they had fun. So, yeah, and you know what? I have yet to play Mortal Kombat 11, and I really, really want to, and hopefully I'll be able to do that soon. You know, maybe if I can get that PS5, I can download it off that, because I'm still not 100% clear on the backwards compatibility thing with the PS5. I'm going to keep on looking into that, and if I can play the hard copy discs on there, then I'm going to do that. But if not, then I'll just do a digital download on there for that one. Because I know there's the two versions. There's the one with a hard drive with the disc, and then there's the digital-only PS5. That I don't know if there's going to be a price difference for that. We'll see how that goes out. Because I haven't checked any of the pre-order stuff for that. But anyways, yeah, that's going to do it for this edition of Retro Film Reviews. And like I said, I'm not going to review Mortal Kombat Annihilation because it is a garbage movie, one of the worst movies I've ever seen, and it's a movie that I'm never going to ever watch again. One time was too many. I honestly would say that I probably hate it more than I hate Halloween Resurrection, and you already know how much I hate that movie, because I've seen that movie twice, and that's too many times already for me. But yeah, you know, I mean, if you liked Mortal Kombat Annihilation, cool, good for you. I'm never going to shame anybody for liking a movie that I didn't like, because anyone who tries to make you feel like shit for liking something, then they're just a bad human being, in my opinion. Just, yeah, don't have any shame in liking what you like and for not liking what you don't like. Everybody's opinions are different, and that's fine. That's what makes us human beings. Having a choice. But yeah, if you haven't seen it before, I would go out of your way, if I was you, to go out of your way to check out this movie, either buy the Blu-ray like I did, or you can even, you know, rent it on YouTube or Amazon Prime if you'd want to. I don't know what streaming services have it. I didn't see it on HBO Max, and I don't think it's on Peacock or any other service. I don't know if it's on Netflix. I haven't had Netflix in 2 years. When I was checking HBO Max last night, I didn't see it on there, so it's probably not there. But yeah, any streaming service that you'd want to download it or get the physical copy like I did, go ahead, form your own opinion. You know, you don't have to listen to what I say. I'm just speaking for myself. If you enjoyed it, give me a like on the YouTube video. Like I said earlier, subscribe to the YouTube channel. And if you want the audio-only version so you don't have to look at my face, you can do so on Spotify, Google Podcasts, CastBox, Radio Public, Breaker, and Anchor. All the direct links to those will be in the description for this podcast. And if you'd like to support me, you can do so on Patreon by joining for $1 a month. That link is in the description. You can check out the Minute Science Podcast store, where I have a Mortal Kombat-inspired t-shirt, the ABACABB famous blood code for the first Mortal Kombat game, where it's just literally the letters ABACABB in the Mortal Kombat font with a little splatter of blood right behind it and a remote video game remote connected to the letter A. One of my favorite t-shirts that I've ever designed on there. So you can check that out in my store. That link will be in the description as well. And check out my previous editions of Retro Film Review for Spaceballs, my Addams Family double feature, No Holds Barred, Adventures of Baron Munchausen, Masters of the Universe, Lion King 1994, my other movie reviews for Jay and Silent Bob Reboot, Birds of Prey, Rise of Skywalker, Joker, Lion King 2019, Spider-Man Far From Home, Dark Phoenix, Avengers Endgame, Captain Marvel, Fighting With My Family, Aquaman, Halloween 2018, my worst to best rankings for X-Men, Spider-Man, Superman, Star Wars, Batman, Halloween. Just check out anything from the Minute Science Podcast. That's right here in the archives, if you will. Thank you all so much for watching, for listening, for subscribing. I love and appreciate every single one of you who do. I hope you enjoy your day and the rest of your week. Take care of yourselves and your loved ones. And this has been the Retro Film Reviews. I am Julian, and I will see all of you next time. Bye-bye.